Hi, I'm Dennis Rainey, and I want to thank you for listening to Donor-Supported Family Life Today. And I want to ask you a question. Did you know that these podcasts will be downloaded over 3 million times this year? That's a lot of ministry. And it's also a lot of money that's needed to sustain this ministry. And what I'd like to do is challenge you to support our ministry financially and keep this podcast available for another 3 million downloads. You can make your donation at familylifetoday.com/donate. That's familylifetoday.com/donate. Thanks for doing what you can, and enjoy the podcast.
If you could list three things that would transform your prayer life, what would those three things be? Here's how Paul Miller would answer that question.
I'm almost tempted to say, pray like a child, pray like a child, pray like a child. It is the principal cure for cynicism. And in our educated, wealthy age, where money can do exactly the same thing prayer does without any hassle, you know, in our work-oriented culture, our success-oriented culture, to become like a little child is the most elusive thing in the Christian life.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. We'll spend some time looking at what it means to pray like a child on today's program. Stay tuned. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You notice all these index cards our guest has got with him?
I have, and they some of them look ancient.
Well, I've been looking at them thinking, dude, get a computer, you know? I mean, or a PDA or something. Don't you? You need an iPhone. I mean, you got all the – what's the
– Let's get to that. Paul Miller joins us again on Family Life Today, and we're talking about prayer. That's right, prayer. And these cards have something to do with that topic. He's written a book called A Praying Life. And tell us about the cards, Paul.
Just the idea of the card, they are very unsophisticated. It's just a 3x5 card. And the nice thing about a card as opposed to a list is that you can pray like every one of my children, every one of my grandkids. My wife, I have 3 or 4 cards, can have a card, and I can write scripture on them. I can pray thoughtfully for their whole life. Like my card for my son Andrew, I started this when he was in 8th grade. I'm praying for his friends, good friends that would love Jesus, Psalm 51, that he would desire truth in the inward parts. I was praying for sports with him, his academics. I have some questions. I've praying for his relationship with his sister. You know, so it's sort of a way of praying for a child's or a group or a problem, sort of the whole situation.
How old is Andrew now?
He's 25.
Well, isn't it time to, I mean, wouldn't you put a new card in there? You're not still praying for sports and his friends in junior high.
Well, some of the cards I kind of get fond of because God's done. I showed this. I had never shown this card to Andrew, and he came to a prayer seminar that I did in Harrisburg a year ago. And I said, Andrew, here's your prayer card. And I said, would you want to get up in front of the audience and just talk about it? And he got up and he couldn't talk. He was just so moved by what God had done in answer to those prayers.
To that point, you believe that some of the issues you would leave on these cards might be a 20, 30, 40-year assignment from God to you as a father to pray for a boy who becomes a young man, a man.
Absolutely.
Some of those issues may linger, in other words.
Absolutely. Like, here's my card for Emily. When she was 6 years old, both Jill and I noticed her love of the finer things of life. Now, oddly enough, the thing that we noticed this with, we had a minivan, a Dodge minivan that died, and we replaced it with a real dumpy old Ford station wagon. And Emily, more than any other kids, mourned the loss of that Dodge minivan. And you would think of a Dodge minivan doesn't usually go with, you don't usually put that in the same sentence as the finer things of life. But our finances were such that that Dodge minivan was the finer things. Mm-hmm. It was the newest we'd ever had in a new car. And Emily really kept, you know, can't we get that another, you know, Dodge, that minivan? And she was just, and so I began praying for her, knowing that that was going to be a 20-year prayer time. And I prayed from 1 John 2, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the more I prayed that, so I've, you know, talking about persistent prayers, I've probably prayed this prayer 3,000-4,000 times. I'd have to do the math on it. And in fact, the more I prayed this for Emily, the worse it got, because she went in her teenage. So we were going backwards. So I just kept praying this. As I prayed for her, it actually helped to shape how I loved her. Here's a just quick example. This was in 11th grade. She was on the girls' hockey team, which is kind of like ice hockey, but girls with field, you know, it's like a soccer field with sticks. And the coach was playing favorites, and Emily was not one of the favorites. And she and her friend were benched for a good share of that year. And I went to Emily, and I said, do you want me to talk to the coach? And Emily says, no, I want to kind of work on this on my own. And so, you know, that was okay. And a parent came up to me in the local gym and said, I can't believe what that coach is doing to Emily and this other girl by benching them. You know, doesn't that just make you angry? I said, I was actually taken aback on it. And I said to her, I'm actually thankful that Emily has low-level suffering on my watch, because life is a lot more like bench sitting than starring on the field.
Yeah.
And that parent, I think she's still standing in the gym with her jaw dropped, because her daughters were in the same program. She was doing all the same things as we were doing with Emily, but within two entirely different goals. Her goal was, I would call it daughter as idol or sports as idol, and my identity comes from my child doing well. And Jill's grid, my wife, was, we want Emily to know Christ. We want, and the more she can enter into the dying life of Jesus, and we're not hunting for suffering. We want to avoid suffering in her life. It's not any weird stuff like that, but that's just a quick example of how praying shaped how we parented.
How old is Emily today?
22.
And does she still like the finer things in life?
Yeah, she still does. But she is just has such a heart for God. Mm. She really does. Mm. And one of the keys, and remember, we're going backwards in our praying. In fact, in my prayer card, in 02, help me to move towards her. I was sort of the typical teenage dad, you know, just dad as idiot.
You were feeling like you were really in a major disconnect during the most dangerous years in your daughter's life.
Not just major. I mean, she just was treating me really badly. So I prayed, help me to move towards her. And I didn't know how to do it. I just kept loving her, and just, you know, I even took her on a couple trips with me. I mean, just everything was going south in her life, just in terms of her relationship with God. And in her senior year, she had been accepted at a couple good Christian colleges, and she wanted to be a music major. And Jill suggested her she take a year off and work as a missionary. So she prayed about it, decided to do it, and went to Guatemala for a year. And God did nothing but bring her to himself during that year.
Wow.
It was just great.
You have cards for Jill?
Yes.
Multiple cards?
Yes.
You said you have more than one for her, right?
Yes, right. Uh-huh.
So can you tell us what's on any of them?
Well, sure. One of my favorite cards is – well, here's a couple. Here's one is on Jill's pressures. And I just have this – a scripture from Philippians 2, that she would be a child of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. And about a year after, one of her pressure points was she was a special ed teacher. She's now retired. And someone came up to her in her school, not a believer, it's this, you know, secular public school, and said, "You light up this whole place." Mm-hmm. And it happens to be all the time where the very language I'm praying will come. I'm praying that she will be lights in the world, and someone comes to her
and says,
"You light up this whole place."
That's cool.
And there are a lot of other cards laying here on the table.
Right. I mean,
you got a stack, one stack that's an inch. Huh?
Yeah.
What?
That's because I'm so
gonna,
messed up.
I'm not going
to
read.
Dennis, I am so desperate. I need to pray over everything in my life.
I'm afraid he's going to make a card for me after he leaves. Lord, help Bob to pray better than he does now.
You know, some things are just mission impossible.
No, see there's the cynicism. Yeah. There's the cynicism.
Here's another card I have for Jill. That is just a card. It's my first card. Is just thanking for things in her life. You know, part of our fallen condition is we become critical. It's part of our cynical, and our frame on our spouse gets negative. And so I just begin my praying for Jill by thinking of things. I'll just look at that card, just think of things I'm thankful for. And about every month or so, I'll think of something new just to kind of reorient me.
So with these cards, do you carry these with you wherever you go? Do you go to Starbucks and get out your cards and start praying? Do you wake up in the morning and say, "I'm going to go through 15 of them"? How do you do it?
You know, I have about 20, 30, maybe 30 cards I go through every day. It only takes me about 10 minutes. I don't know, I might linger over a card anywhere from 2 seconds to 15 seconds. And a lot of times it's just, oh, I think of them. Here's one of my grandson, Max. I just had his name on a card, and I didn't know what to pray for him. He's 5 now, so I watched him when he was 3 in a pool with his older sister, who had whacked him on the side of the head, and he didn't do anything. And he was in a ring; he couldn't even swim. And he circled around, kind of like an F-16 fighter. He did a big circle in his ring and came up behind his sister, who had now long forgotten that she had slapped him, and he took both his hands, placed them on her head, and shoved her under the water. And I thought, yes, I know how to pray for Max. I'm going to pray 2 things. One that'll be a mighty man of God. And so I got one of David's mighty men, and I just have that as a scripture. And then I prayed that he'd be mighty with his own heart from Psalm 51.
Okay, we're gonna do something really special here in a moment. But let's say there's a mom listening right now, and she's saying, you know, I want to just teach my children as they're growing up what Paul Miller would say would be the 3 most important things I should be teaching them. Would you give her the ABCs of what a parent should teach his or her children about prayer?
One of them's pray like a child, isn't
it? I'm almost tempted to say pray like a child, pray like a child, pray like a child. It is the principal cure for cynicism. And in our educated, wealthy age where money can do exactly the same thing prayer does without any hassle, where it's, you know, in our work-oriented culture, our success-oriented culture, to become like a little child is the most elusive thing in the Christian life. And here's just an encouragement on it. Jesus is asking us to become like he is with that, because he is like a child.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, just listen to this. This is John 5:19. Think of how old this person is. This is Jesus talking. I do nothing on my own. I do just what I see my Father doing. That is a child. That's someone with a childlike heart. You know, he can't do life on his own. So to learn how to be a child, just to continually go back, because what we forget is we forget the welcoming heart of God. And I would say, actually, probably the biggest thing that mother can do is for herself to have that childlike spirit with God and to remember that God wants her to come to him as she is all messy. Don't fix herself up. Jesus doesn't say, come to me, all you who have learned how to concentrate in prayer, and I will answer your prayer requests. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. So you come to Jesus with your mind distracted. You come angry. You come cynical. You come frustrated. You come as you are. That's what it is to be a child.
And again, we're back to the issue of dependence. Children
Absolutely.
Are fully dependent on
yeah.
their parents for everything.
Yes.
The older you get, the more independent you get.
Yes.
Jesus is saying, go back to when you were dependent.
Yes.
And recognize that, acknowledge that, yeah. and live like that.
Yeah, 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 and live like that.
You know, I think that's such a good reminder. It's not just what we teach them by what we say. It is what we're doing and what we're experiencing and what's a reality in our own lives. Those are great words. Now, here's the treat. Your daughter, Kim, who is autistic, and we've talked about a number of times here this week, has been out in the area listening to us here in the studio. But
well, she's actually been kind of ignoring us and watching a movie, but she's here
yeah,
with us,
yeah.
right?
Explain to our listeners, before we bring Kim in, what's going to take place here.
Kim and I are going to tell a story together, or I'll probably ask her some questions as we go through it, but you'll hear her mechanical voice. She uses a speech computer to talk with, and you'll hear some clicking, and then you'll hear her voice talk. And she's pretty fluent. She has a great sense of humor. You might hear her laughing in the background, too, but that's Kim.
Well, we have got Kim, who has joined us here in the studio. And she's got her computer, her speech computer with her. And so, Kim, welcome to the program. It's nice to have you here.
Hi.
There we go. Have you ever been on the radio before?
No.
Well, we're glad to make this your broadcast debut. And, Paul, you want to explain the story that you and Kim are going to tell us?
This story is in the book of Praying Life. And Kim and I were traveling to Florida together. I decided to give Jill a break over Mother's Day weekend and take Kim on a speaking engagement that I had down in Florida. We got to Philadelphia Airport, long-term parking, and Kim started rummaging through her book bag as soon as we got out of the car. And what did you find, Kim?
I folded my book.
I forget my book, which is forget for the rest of us.
Yeah, right.
And what was your response, Kim, when you realized that Mom hadn't packed your book?
Frustrated.
Kim started a low-level whine. We walked over to the bus compartment. I had Kim's suitcase, my suitcase, and I had this big box that said See Jesus in it. There were like 15 people there. And Kim, what were you doing while we were waiting at the bus stand?
Complained.
You were complaining fairly loudly.
I wish our listeners right now could see Kim's face. She's just beaming, smiling, looking at you, listening to you,
right.
and having her tell the story.
Because she was frustrated, and I was so embarrassed. I had this big written, you know, sign that said "See Jesus," and I thought I looked like an idiot.
Frustrated.
And it was only later on I actually realized, well, that's kind of how you see Jesus. And then Kim actually brightened up when we were finally getting on the bus, and I was trying to get Kim this box and our suitcases on. And what happened, Kim, in the middle of trying to get all this stuff on the bus? What happened?
The bus driver closed the door.
Yeah, now Kim has been whining for 10 minutes now, and what stops her whining is seeing Dad getting nailed by the bus door. You know, Kim thinks that's funny, all right?
She thinks it's funny now,
yeah,
too.
Right, yeah, she thinks it's funny now, too. She's got a big grin on her face. So then we got to the terminal, and there was this huge line at the US Air thing where we were.
Line.
And so we went upstairs to security, and as soon as we got there, like magic, they closed one of the security things
line.
And combined two lines. Now, and Kim, what do you start doing again in front of all these in this line of security?
Complete.
Yeah, and that would be mild. That was probably the mildest description of what you're doing. Now, the nice thing is Kim hates getting in line, so she starts nudging her way forward. So we actually cut in front of a few other people.
Push.
And then we got to the
Push.
Scanners, and the man said to you, put your speech computer on the conveyor belt, and what did you tell him?
It is my Pathfinder.
Right. You actually said, it's my voice. You said, it's my voice. You wouldn't give it up. So I yanked it out of Kim's arm, and, you know, I'm tense and frustrated, and run it through, and we're late. We've got 20 minutes to get to our gate. And then
yes.
I find out it's one terminal over. And I thought, oh, can I run with Kim and these boxes and stuff? And I threw ourselves, myself in front of this little cart, you know, this little thing that carry people around. And he cut us a break. And then when we were headed off to the terminal in this little cart. And then what happened on the way?
The man talk phone.
Yeah, a man was talking on his cell phone going down the long B ramp, just lollydolling around. And our cart was behind him beeping. And Kim now, who's been complaining this whole time, starts smiling again. She thinks it's funny that I'm frustrated at this slow guy. Anyway, we get to the plane. Get on the plane, and then the man announces over the intercom, the stewardess says,
yes.
What?
Turned off.
Turn off all electronic devices.
Uh-huh.
Kim refuses. She's fully electronic at this point. She's got a tape book
Pathfinder.
She's listening to, and she's got her Pathfinder speech computer, and Kim won't turn it off, and the stewardess comes by, and she starts arguing with the stewardess about turning it off.
She's arguing on her speech computer.
Oh, yeah. And so anyway, so finally Kim turns it off, and then over the intercom, and Kim hates waiting because of the autism, the pilot says,
wait.
He says, we have to wait. We're 12th in line for takeoff. Kim can't even see the plane ahead of us. And we at that point, you did what, Kim?
Complain.
We actually had a meltdown at that point, which is probably the rear third of the plane knew that we were not real happy at that point. And I'm just sitting there thinking, and you just, as a parent, you have all these things all the time. You know, I was thinking, I will never do this again. You know, this was a huge mistake. And it's just sort of like, what's the point? And a lot of times in parenting or spousing or whatever it is, you know, you come to that very clear conclusion. And part of the theme of the book is to begin to pull back and look at the stories. And as I thought about it that weekend, I thought, here, I pray regularly. I've got several prayer cards for humility. And here's God answering my prayer for humility. And, it, you know, I'm at a seminar where people esteem you when you're leading it. Mm. So this thing is a gift to me. It's part of God wanting me to draw me into the life of his son. And I begin to think about this is also the very way that love works, that I shouldn't push away the very thing I've asked God to bring into my life because Jill got a restful weekend. And I had a more hassly weekend. And that's the very structure of love. That's the structure of the gospel, and it's the structure of love. So God was drawing me into the life of his son. So part of a praying life is beginning to see these patterns and these stories that God is doing, whether it's as simple as the Kim learning with the spilled milk thing. That's sort of a mini version of what this was a larger version of.
Kim, do you like traveling with your dad?
Yes.
What? Why do you like it?
No work tomorrow.
No work.
No work tomorrow or today. Also, why else do you like traveling, Kim? Any other reasons?
I love see Harry Potter again. Tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. I said Kim could read her Harry Potter. Kim could read her Harry Potter book if we did well on the trip.
You know, one of the stories I've heard you tell was praying for a job or a career.
Right.
For Kim.
Yep.
Now, that took some faith.
Yep.
Why don't you set her up to let her tell what she does?
With her job. Well, do I have time to tell a quick story on how how we even got the job? It really was neat. We tried everything. And Kim, what did you think of the job where you had to work at the Souderton home? What did you think of that job? We tried all these different
hated set the tables and
you hated setting the tables.
Rabbit.
Yeah, and you hated taking care of the rabbit.
But
yeah, the rabbit bite you. I didn't know that, Kim. Anyway, we tried all these different things with AIDS, and nothing worked. We finally got a job at Blockbuster, which with Kim's love of movies is a little bit like an alcoholic getting a job serving alcohol in a bar. And we lost our temper one day and got fired. And so we were 6 weeks away. We've been praying for this for 5 years.
Yes.
And we were 6 weeks away, and Jill went into our printers, and the printer asked Jill, hey, did Kim ever get a job? And the printer said no. And Jill said no. And the printer said, you know, let me make a phone call. And 6 weeks from graduation, Kim got a job working at a kennel. And she worked there 6 years. And what do you do now, Kim?
Walking different dogs now.
Yeah, you walk different dogs. Where?
Different dogs now.
Where do you walk them? Not in a kennel, but where?
Different houses.
Yeah, in different houses. And you do a great job at that.
So people have hired her.
Yes.
To help take care of her pets and take her for a walk in the neighborhood.
That's right. Yep, yep.
But you would consider that to be a major answer to prayer for Kim.
I mean, just statistically, I would think 99% of people with Kim level of disability do not have regular employment. It's just there are just so many barriers to that. It's really one of the hardest things to do.
And Kim, how does it make you feel to be able to walk other people's dogs?
I am happy.
Yeah. One quick little thing. One of the things when we weren't getting anywhere with our job search for Kim, I started saying, what the heck? I'm going to make this prayer bigger. I'm going to pray for Kim's calling, that she would bless people, you know? When you're up against the wall, nothing's happening, why not ask for the whole enchilada? And we're sitting in an answer right now.
I was getting ready to say that if you didn't.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and say it.
I think, Kim, you have really blessed a lot of people here.
Yes.
Because you've blessed Bob and me and your dad. And I just want to say thank you for being on Family Life Today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Paul, thank you as well for not only bringing Kim and introducing us to her, but for the book and for how you've instructed us and counseled us in this important discipline in our growing relationship with our Father.
And I want to ask Kim one last question. Mm. Kim, this was your first ever radio broadcast. Do you think you have a future in radio?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, you got a future here anytime you're available to be with us on Family Life Today. And again, thanks to both of you. Let me point our listeners to our website, familylifetoday.com. where they can find out more about Paul's book, A Praying Life. Again, the website, familylifetoday.com, or call toll-free 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-358-6329. That's the number you can call. Ask about Paul's book, A Praying Life, or about other resources we have available to help you cultivate your relationship with God through prayer. Again, online, familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. And we hope you'll be back with us tomorrow, because we're going to introduce you to some folks who are a lot like you, just normal, average folks who have decided they're going to make a difference for orphans around the world. We'll hear some of their stories, and maybe it'll inspire some of you to care for orphans as well. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Hope you can be here for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, and our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Scenes from a Grocery Store, number 22.
Look!
What?
Kumquats!
You know what, babe? They're little oranges. Big deal.
The store's been out of these all year.
Well, hey, what are you doing?
Buying the kumquats.
They're not on the list. We can't do that.
Come on. Are kumquats really going to kill us?
Babe, I don't want to go over budget.
What budget? You've let the credit card receipts pile up for a month.
Okay, I've got this number in my head, and it doesn't include kumquats, okay?
Yeah, well, it includes your super roast premium Colombian shipped from Mongolia coffee, doesn't it?
Does it ever seem that every time money comes up, a fight breaks out? Find out how to resolve conflict at Family Life's Weekend to Remember Marriage Conference. You'll learn how to appreciate your differences and talk in a way that brings you closer together. You'll have time to focus on each other and let romance come alive. Find out more at familylifeweekend.com.
Fine. Let's put back the coffee and we'll get your tiny little oranges, okay?
Yummy!
That's familylifeweekend.com.